rate me from 0 to 5 stars.
I'd give Fleeks. I'm gonna have to go with 4.8 stars.
4.8 stars.
Okay.
Your settings only apply.
Yeah, he's feeding back from me because I've gone to -36 nipples, so now I'm going to get to -35.
Oh my god.
Okay, Fleeks, make some noise.
Noise.
Okay, so now when he's not getting feedback?
Yeah, and you do not cut out.
And I don't cut out. Life is good. Yeah.
Okay, all right, nobody touch anything. So no more fuckery. Make sure. We're going to do this.
Woo!
I just put a pillow in my face and then...
No. Not for the first time, I might add.
Okay, if you two want to, you know, have some breath play after the show, that's fine. I dig it. But for right now, we need you alive.
It's okay, I'm a paramedic. Nobody dies when I'm around.
Oh, he's already got the dog complex going.
I mean, to be fair, if you were going to do, like, dangerous snuff play with a partner, your paramedic would probably be the best person to do it with.
It's true.
True, that, or a nurse, like an ER nurse.
A kinky, naughty nurse. Now we're going places.
I know a nurse.
Do we have to keep this safe for work?
No.
No.
Actually, I want to give some warning right now, since I've started recording all this. This episode of Bird Life is going to be a little more explicit than usual. And by a little more, I mean a lot more.
Yeah, because
we have Tear Soul. We can't avoid it.
Oh, God. I come with a rating warning now. Peggy 18?
You have your own disclaimer.
Yes. Basically, there's a high chance that a penis may appear. Sorry, guys.
Oh.
Parental Advisory Tearsoul.
Explicit peregrines within.
Yes. Cloaca alert.
Laugh. He's been keeping me entertained so much.
But keep it tasteful, guys.
We wouldn't want to disappoint the queen.
I make no promises, your majesty.
We do not want to have this special episode illegal in Great Britain.
We're gonna sleaze it up a little bit, but we'll stay classy.
I do sleazy, sometimes classy, never both.
Also for our audience, Tearsoul and to our audience, I'm in London for New Year's Eve. Oh come on! Okay, give me a second.
Fleeks will return after this short intermission. Roll commercials.
I can hear him swearing up a storm in the background.
Yeah, he's kind of... He's spootling around.
Oh, are you fucking... For this...
This is getting funny.
Another room, because... For some... Selective of your...
My microphone is painfully selective.
Yeah, it is.
Das ist verboten, ja? Ah, jetzt sprechen Sie das!
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Oh, by the way.
Fleeks doesn't necessarily...
There's nothing wrong with my door, it's just backwards.
Yeah, it's backwards, right, that's wrong.
This is something else Fleeks has learned. In England, our doors are backwards. Little known fact, this was actually decreed by the Queen in 1605. In order to prevent the peasants from uprising, to confuse them, all the doors in Buckingham Palace were put on backwards so they couldn't ransack the palace. And it kind of caught on as a fashion statement.
Seriously?
No idea, I'm just making that up. Yeah, but it sounded good. It sounded believable.
Yeah,
it did.
Well, that's the thing we learned about all British people is you can say anything, and because of that accent, we are inherently programmed to believe you because of every documentary ever.
Yeah, here's David, I remember. Wouldn't lie to you.
I did not know what you're talking about right now, but I'm back.
I was telling you the origin story of why our doors are on backwards.
Why?
Well, you'll have to listen to the podcast.
You'll just have to listen to the episode.
Oh, yeah.
Good. So, Fleeks, have you gotten a chance to enjoy that quality British plumbing? Because when I visited...
Be careful how you answer this.
Because when I visited Confuzzled earlier this year... The one thing I remember the most was just how awful my British plumbing and the toilet was in the hotel.
You I mean like that low pressure plumbing?
Yeah, low pressure. You need takes three flushes to get, you know, the toilet empty, and it's like the sink barely comes out stronger than that of a small piss. It was horrible.
I'm going to go with everything's bigger in America, so your big fat steaks result in giant griffin turds that need more flushing, whereas we do dainty small British turds.
Core, he went there, not me. I'm innocent.
Okay, today's episode is about sound check.
Sound check.
and the quality of British construction.
Our doors are on backwards and our plumbing is fantastic.
And when it comes to electricity, they have the most unique plugs I have ever seen.
We have the best plugs.
No, you're cutting out.
They can actually be used as anti-infantry landmines. Have you ever stepped on one of them when the wrong way up? Jesus Christ, they hurt.
Well, I will say I do enjoy the fact that British plugs, just like New Zealand, Australia too, have little switches. So you literally can shut every plug off if you're not using it. Whereas in the US we're like, fuck it, we're just gonna leave this thing on 24/7 unless it's connected to a switch.
Yeah, see, that seems like a really stupid idea to me. When I was in America, so like, what if you like electrocute yourself or burn the house down?
Well, the circuit has a circuit breaker, so I mean supposed to pop if something really bad happens.
Yeah.
So, everyone, this is episode 11 of Bird Life. I am the legendary Black Boogie. Yeah, we're mixing it up, baby.
By the way, today is Bird... I would have wanted to say Bird Crew episode. No, it's actually Bird Life episode 11. That's almost episode 12.
But not quite episode 10 anymore, either.
No.
Halfway between 10 and 12.
Yeah.
So sort of 10.5?
Okay, it's episode 10.5 today.
Yeah, 10.5. Just decided. Fuck 11.
All right. So, like I said, I'm Black Boogie.
He's Storm. I'm Core.
Black Boogie sounds like a good porn star name.
I'm Fleeks.
This is where I introduce myself, and I'm TSL. Hello.
We have basically the admin crew of Bird Crew here now. What the hell happened? Elitist?
Yeah, we're taking off.
Much.
we're still missing Bird.
Bird is not a real bird, though.
He's a real bird.
We're missing our secretary and our Australian and our not a dragon.
Not a dragon. Yeah.
A future recording one day, we should do that. Have the entire admin team on for one recording. That'd be fun.
We would murder each other. I have no doubt.
It'd be difficult to get everyone on at the right time as well. The Australian would be upside down.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Do you reckon they talk upside down?
I've been down there, I can assure you. With enough alcohol, anything's possible.
And the special thing on that episode, we are all in countries now where they speak natively English. I'm at Twisted in London, and I stay at Tiersel's place. Hence, he is here today.
Hello.
Yeah, so I'm told you guys went out on some pretty big adventures on the first night. Do you guys want to tell us about that?
Oh, yeah, but beforehand, I would like to introduce what I'm drinking today. And that's a London Porter. I think that was pretty fitting for this show today because I'm sending from London. I'm recording from London. And... yeah, it's a dark beer, and it has a raven on it, so it's also bird-relevant. And the main color is, like, purple, so it's...
Raven Porter. You could call it a quarter.
Purple drink! Purple drink!
Purple drink is grape juice.
And it is the description is rich and aromatic, with notes of chocolate. dark and intense with a hint of licorice.
Is core dark and intense? Like, I guess it kind of fits.
Everything about really that fits, except up until the point of licorice. I don't like licorice.
I never licked your thumb.
Core. So I thought that's what you nicknamed your Johnson was, you know. Oh, this is my licorice. Come at me with your cloaca.
My esteem is much higher than that.
Well, and it's
so cool. What is your nickname for your penis?
My penis. I don't actually have a nickname for it. And no, none of, this is not an open invitation for you guys to come up with one. No.
No, don't do that. Our listener, don't do that, guys.
Answers
don't
on a postcard. What is your nickname for Core's penis?
Oh, yes, very much yes.
Oh, yeah. God. Okay,
we'll Core, take votes on the answers, and a winner will be announced shortly.
Okay,
so now everyone, you must tell us what you're drinking and what the nickname of your penis is.
We do not want to make the episode 10.5 to an episode where Core cries. I wanted to keep that for episode 20.
It's really not that hard to make me cry.
But what I wanted to say is that this porter, I normally do not like porters, but this thing is good. Ah. Okay.
Tiersel, what are you drinking?
I am drinking BrewDog's own craft beer, Punk IPA, and I've got to be honest, I don't really like beer. I don't drink beer much. I'm more of a cider person because I come from the West Country, like I'm a Cornwall lad, you know, so we're all a bit like farmers and we all drink cider.
So an IPA must be very intense for you right now.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I'm not liking it. It's kind of shit.
I told you.
Yeah,
that's just IPAs.
It just tastes like used dishwater with a bit of yeast in it.
What? No. IPAs are very... I don't like BrewDog IPAs, but this one is definitely not tasteless. It's like
it's not tasteless. It tastes really intense, but it's a bad intense taste.
Yeah. I agree with that. I'm sorry, I
like IPAs and stuff and drinks in general that have a good taste to them. So if you're willing to sacrifice your palate in the sake of getting drunk, yeah.
That's well, what are you drinking then,
that's
Storm?
That's not a good way to live. See, I am drinking a proper traditional sweet-tasting American drink that you can get for cheap.
Coca-Cola?
I went and got... No, fuck that. It doesn't have enough alcohol in it. I went and got a bottle of Arbor Mist Pink Moscato.
Ah, yes.
That sounds delightful.
And not only do I have a bottle, this bottle... A 1.5 liter bottle.
It's a handle. Liter.
That's pretty gay.
Yeah.
Hey.
That's a hey.
They did not have the normal size bottles. They only had the Mambo motherfuckers. So I guess I'm going to get really drunk today.
I'm
going
to internet high five you right now, Storm, because that's about the size and actually the same flavor that I like to get from Arbor Mist. Internet five.
Yes.
And what are you drinking, Core Raven?
Well, I was going to say the Tears of Griffins, but now I just feel bad. But no, I'm just drinking coffee right now. I'm the only non-alcoholic.
I feel like you're letting us down. There needs to be some sort of punishment for this.
I'll go get a Corona, BRB.
God damn it, how the hell am I supposed to open this bottle?
With a bottle opener.
I think our Griffin has... problems to open a bottle once again.
Has he got small girly hands?
I'm going and getting a damn fucking pair of pliers. Be right back.
Griffins and bottles are an impossible combination.
I don't understand because he actually has claw hands. Meanwhile, I just have my fingers and I can still open up Coronas just fine.
Wingers. Yeah,
wingers are terrible. Back wings for the win.
Oh, not that discussion. Let's do the discussion. If wingers are good, and we are 2-2 probably in that argument.
That will be the legitimate poll that we have this week. Fwingers or back wings?
No, I like the first poll more.
Back wings. Always back wings.
Yeah, back wings are the best because you've got hands that can actually do things. You aren't going to tickle someone when trying to give them a hand job. Yeah, that's about it, really.
You can.
Here's the thing, Tears. So
we have feathers. There's nothing you can better tickle with than feathers.
Here's the thing, Tears. I have a rebuttal for you. So you have your hand wing. You have your hands, your talons, right? You also have your feet, right?
Yeah.
And then you have your back wings, right?
Yeah.
What makes you different from a griffin?
I don't have a cat butt.
Oh, that's legit. No tail.
I don't have cat balls. I don't have cat feet. I don't have cat legs.
Basically,
I don't have all the worst bits of a catbird.
Basically, you are just two appendages away from being a spider.
Oh, no, that's creep. I don't like spiders. I'm not okay with this.
Well, then you should get rid of your back wings.
I might have to consider plastic surgery. How much do you reckon like a finger transplant costs?
Should be covered by your healthcare. Oh, wait, you don't have that.
No, we don't have health insurance because we don't live in a third world country.
Wow.
We live in a country that actually takes care of its citizens and doesn't charge you £1 million to see a doctor.
I can taste the salt from the Atlantic Ocean all the way over here.
Yes.
On a few uploaded pictures from artists for Tearsall, I could read like he's not a griffin. It was like it's quite a lot put underneath art of him. It's not a griffin.
God, yeah. Hey, I got my bottle open.
Hey,
I used one of my talon squeezers that I never use because it just collects dust, and I was able to squeeze the lid and twist with it. Genius.
Glad the glass didn't break.
Yeah, I know.
Storm, what's your opinion about swingers?
First of all, here's what I'm going to say. All right, I got to adjust myself for this. Okay.
Hear what I'm going to say, boys.
That's right, boys. Okay. When it comes to swingers, on pure birds, I think they are very cute. I really do. But when it comes to practicality and being able to do more, I prefer wings on the back and having separate appendages for your arms because that allows you to multitask and, like, fly and hold things, which you cannot do with swingers.
You know what? Hang on. I can totally understand that because when I created my birdsona, I thought, what do I want my imaginary internet character to have? Do I want them to be practical and real, or do I want them to be an imaginary internet character?
Why not both? Hence back wings.
Well, the thing I want to say is there are good combinations, like Secretary Tweet we had in with guest a few shows ago. He has like swingers, but also
He has hands on the end of his wings, but he has feathers coming out of his hands.
Yeah, that's a good compromise, I think.
Oh my god, this Moscato. This, like, wow. Just so good. I'm sorry, but yes.
Fleeks, tell us about your adventure in Great Britain.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen Big Ben yet?
No, that's for tomorrow or for the day after that, but I should start with when I was coming here. I was from the airport, my first time in the tube, first time scanning a so-called Oyster card. That's like, I know maybe you have it on your universities, those cafeteria cards, where you can buy food from and that you can charge with money. And the tube here or the whole public transport has the same system with a single card you charge and you have to check in and check out. And well, that was my first time using that. That was pretty spectacular for me because I did not know that system, and that's cool. But the first tube I was driving with, it terminated random because of some technical problems, and then we were like, you should explain that. It was
okay. So what happened was I was picking him up from Heathrow Airport, and the Heathrow Express isn't running at the minute. So it's closed for engineering works over the Christmas holiday. So we had to take the underground, which takes about three times as long, and it's generally pretty shit. But some inconvenient asshole decided to jump in front of a tube train and splatter themselves all over the tracks, meaning everything got closed and diverted.
Fleeks, that is much more than a technical difficulty, sir.
No, he came.
In the U.S., we call that in the U.S. passenger interference.
Yeah, no. Either way, they're a cunt. Fucking, if you're going to kill yourself, do it at home, in the privacy of your own room, sit in your bathtub, have a bottle of red wine, a little bit of Maroon 5 or some other depressing shit, and slit your wrists.
Maroon 5?
Don't do it in front of, like, thousands of commuters that you're going to hold people up to.
Bird Life in no way advocates you killing yourself, but if you're going to
do it... Don't kill yourself, but if you're going to...
Don't do it to Maroon 5!
Yes.
Top tips: kill yourself to Maroon 5.
Stuff I learned today while listening to Bird.life.
This absolute cockwomble killed himself in a tube horrifically delayed. Finally, get to pick Fleeks up, and we get back on the tube back, and they go, "This tube is now terminated." And we're in the middle of this fucking middle of nowhere station, completely useless, and like it has one connecting track, and that track's also closed for engineering works. So, what should have been about an hour turned into a 6-hour trip to get Fleeks from the airport, because suicide.
Couldn't you have just taken an Uber or something?
Oh, man.
We could have, but the estimated cost for an Uber was over £100, and I like Fleeks, but not that much.
What the hell is causing your Uber to be so expensive?
Because it was literally one side of London to the other.
Yeah, London's pretty big.
Yeah, I can understand.
Yeah, it's very big. And but that cost me that we in the half of our trip on the half, we went to a fish and chip store where I mixed ketchup and mayonnaise. Beetle was shocked about
it's that. Wrong. I'm honestly surprised the Queen did not come out and deport you on the spot for doing that.
I personally mix ketchup and mayonnaise here. I think it tastes pretty good.
It's not British, damn it. It's just not cricket.
It's fry sauce. Also, I put vinegar on my chips.
I've seen it. Putting vinegar on, that's a normal thing. I really hate vinegar.
So it's a good compliment.
I hate vinegar too. Now I have to ask: have you had a chance to try traditional British food, such as a traditional British breakfast, lunch, and dinner?
Actually, I did. I ate British pudding, black, and another black. Sorry, that's what's different. But pudding, yeah, I ate pudding.
Pudding.
It was a
sticky toffee pudding.
Yeah, right.
Which was so good.
It was so delicious, but so sweet that I couldn't eat another sweet thing for the whole day, really. It gave me instant diabetes.
It honestly nearly killed him.
It nearly killed me. I was so sick. I got so sick from that because it was so sweet. But it was so good.
See, when I was at Confuzzled, and we had British breakfast served to us every day, and what... stuck at me the most was the fact you all have beans for breakfasts, and they're really tasty. I mean, they are, but it was like, what the fuck is this shit?
You have an obsession with beans over there, and it doesn't make sense.
Okay, so things beans go on. They go in breakfast, that's good. They go on baked potatoes, that's pretty good. Baked potatoes and beans. And you can have just beans on toast. Beans on toast is really good. I've run out of things to put beans on.
Well, I have to admit that I love beans, and that I'm hyped about eating some beanie breakfast.
Yeah, I still need to take you to a proper traditional British fry-up breakfast. We were going to do it the other day, but unfortunately the place I wanted to go to was closed, and by that time everywhere else has stopped serving breakfast. So we went to the next best thing, the Wetherspoons, which is like a traditional little British pub brand, and they do, it's cheap, but it's really good food.
Yeah, it's
some really people are probably going to explode for saying, "Oh my god, Witherspoon's is shit. It's not good." But actually, fuck you guys, it's good.
Well, another thing I learned
very preemptively defensive of that.
British bacon is not the same as American bacon.
No, we do it. Actually, no.
Huge.
Yeah, I'm gonna probably offend more British people here and say that actually, I think American bacon is better. I mean, don't get me wrong, British bacon is good, but the American bacon that's so crispy and so hard, you could probably use it to arm and plate a tank. It's just so good.
Well, it depends. Yeah, you can get it cooked softer.
I prefer my bacon a little softer. Bacon. Yeah.
I
love it crispy, really. I am in the crispy part.
Yeah, I like it so crispy you can use it as a fragmentation grenade.
I know in Australia you can get American style bacon, and I think you can in the UK, but you guys call it streaky bacon.
Yeah, and it tastes horrible because it's like 90% fat, and it's just eh. But I guess it's
So we frequently talk about bringing them over here to America, but we've never actually spoken about going and visiting them.
Oh, I'm down for that.
Oh,
yeah. You guys have open invitation to all birds at TSL's Nest.
I have two couches where you can sleep on, and they have a huge bed where somebody can sleep on.
Nudge.
Tiersel, you do need to give your disclaimer if they're going to be spending the night at your house. What generally happens when people spend the night at your house?
Well, all I'm going to say, I mean, we have a very comfortable sofa, which I'm sure Fleek's going to attest to. But if there's also space in my bed, I have a pretty big bed. But if you generally have to earn your keep in my bed, you know.
Oh, jeez.
That's a very guilty sounding little giggle there, Fleeks.
What?
Moving swiftly on.
Okay.
So, next question.
So the second day where the action was really like going on.
There was action. I'm sure there was action.
No, I mean, on the second day when I was here, we went to Soho. Tiersle, explain them what Soho is.
Soho is a district. Well, I still don't know what the difference between a district, region, and borough is, but anyway, it's a small bit of London. Mm. But it is famous for being the gay capital of the capital. It is essentially one giant gay town full of gay bars, gay sex shops, gay sex dungeons, cruising clubs, and all things fabulous.
Fleeks was telling me about how you took him to a gay bar, that the name of the gay bar was Gay.
It wasn't gay. It was G-A-Y.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Wow.
But before that, I have to say that evening was like, at first we were in a craft beer bar and bought a bottle of beer to take away because it was cheaper. And I had the best IPA I ever had. I'm not a fan of APAs, but that thing was good. I forgot the name. It's something with fuck. I don't know, but it was so fucking good.
Yeah, actually, that's where you first introduced me to craft beer things. And actually, I found a few that I liked. And seeing as I don't really drink beer, that was a massive achievement.
Yeah, he found a beer he liked. Tiersel likes the sour beer style. Sour beers are his thing, probably. Fruity sour beers.
So basically not beers.
They are beers. They are legit beers. Belgian beers are often
there are. Sour,
I want to recommend Telltale Tart, then. Like, see if you can track that down and try it, because you might like that a lot.
I'll see if I can. The one I had was called Tropic Thunder, which was a sour passion fruit beer, and it was amazing.
Fox Barrel. Fox Barrel's really good, too.
I'll keep an eye out for both of those things.
So, hang on, Fleeks, was it primarily fruity beers that he was having? Like, No, they're still technically beers, but we call them bitch beers. For a reason.
No, it wasn't that kind of beer. It wasn't sweet. It was
okay.
Oh, like sour and fruity, but it wasn't a bitch beer. Definitely not.
Okay.
Ain't nobody making me a bitch.
But the next thing we were, I think it was the Village. And I did not know it is a gay bar. I just came in there.
Yeah, it's very
I know there were cheap cocktails, but then I saw the cocktail list, and then I saw the people who like mixing the cocktails, and I said to Tears, like, hey, they look pretty gay. And he was like, yeah, it's a gay bar. And I was, oh!
Did the rainbow flags all over the wall, and the fact that the name was The Village with a big rainbow V, and not kind of give it away.
That was actually the first gay club I ever visited. And it was pretty nice in there. It was like, and I'm sure the half of the people who went there weren't even gay or something. I think they came just because
a lot of people go there just because it's a nice atmosphere and the drinks are really cheap.
Cheap cocktails, but very gay cocktails. And that was like the trend of the night. First, we started with like beer, IPAs and stuff. And the drinks became gayer and gayer until I ended with a blueberry cider with vodka. And that was like the gayest thing I ever drank.
Yeah, like, that's, it tasted good.
That sounds pretty gay. I'll visit gay bars occasionally here, but like it's more like I'm not really for the scene. But I'll go occasionally just so I can get a boost in self-esteem. Just, you know, when I'm feeling a little down and I need, you know, free drinks and compliments handed out like candy, I'll go to a gay bar.
I can recommend, if you ever go to London, I can recommend The Ship. It seems pretty cool. And it's like, if you like rock or rock and metal and stuff, then go there. The people there are pretty nice. And we took, for example, we took a photo of us and the one of the waitress, I don't know if that's the right term, but one of the bartender, thank you, that was the word I was looking for, was like photobombing it, and it was so hilarious. I can show you the photo later, but it was really hilarious.
So, Tricelle,
hello.
Answer me this. Do you like some of the traditional British customs we see on TV, such as having afternoon tea or a pint for everything?
Any time is tea time, really. There's no particular good time for it. Although I must admit, to the horror of our fellow British birds, I am much more of a coffee person than a tea person. I go through phases. I mean, tea, when I do like tea, it's a really strong tea. Like Assam is good. That's fantastic for waking you up in the morning. But generally, it's coffee. And as for pints with everything, not really. I don't really drink that much. I drink socially rather than with nobody.
Well, I personally, Germans normally are like they like coffee way more than tea, but I'm like, I rarely drink any coffee. And
well, that's going to change over these next few days.
Yeah, at Starbucks I always get a green tea latte or a chai tea latte, but really not much of the coffee lattes.
But Tiersel is British, but he likes coffee. Is that right?
Yes. Probably because I've developed a clinical addiction to caffeine, where it's the only thing that keeps my heart still beating.
Yeah, you would probably make a better American. What with the bacon and then the love of coffee?
Bacon and coffee is pretty good.
No, describe to me the process. Let's say you want to make yourself breakfast. Talk to me about how you would prepare your eggs.
Okay, so I crawl out of bed making zombie noises. I kind of slam myself against the door a few times to try and open it because I'm not a morning person. Drown myself in coffee until I reach something vaguely awake. And the eggs. Okay, so what, you want like a step-by-step guide of how to egg?
Yes.
Okay, so normally I go for two, but if I'm feeling greedy, three eggs. Cracked into a glass jug. Little splash of milk, little pinch of salt, little pinch of pepper, whisk the fuck out of it, tiny sprinkle of garlic powder, which is my secret recipe, and a pinch of brown sugar in a pan, heat, scramble, done.
So very, very similar just how I make scrambled eggs. Well, do you serve it over toast?
Expecting like a British way of doing it. Like,
well, yeah.
Oh, like yes, I put a tea bag in my eggs.
No, I'm asking if you like put it on toast or like
you teabag your eggs. Oh my god!
Either on toast or with hash browns or that's pretty much it.
I myself like it really fancy when I make scrambled eggs or omelets with fresh spinach leaves, spinach. How to pronounce it? You know what I mean. And tomatoes, maybe sometimes. And what do I? Whatever. Oh yeah, I like to give to it like minced meat and bacon a bit, and then I
listen to this guy preparing like a wholehearted like breakfast meal. What the shit, dude? Like,
and by the way,
just see that now.
Right. You can put everything.
Do you wake
omelette.
Up like humming and whistling and like
zucchinis, man? Zucchinis.
Just see that now. I'm keeping Fleeks. He's gonna be my new breakfast slave. You're not getting him back.
Well,
as long as you were willing to sacrifice him for the show 1 hour a week, I'm okay with that.
Done. I can't function without breakfast. I'm a grumpy little peregrine. I'm a proper diva.
I wanted to ask you guys, do you want to play a game?
No.
I do.
I do.
Would you like to
fuck
play
it, why
a game?
Not? Is it spin the bottle?
We can do that later, post-show.
Hot.
A game. Yeah, I would like to play a game, Core.
Let's play a game. I like to call this game Bug, Bird, or Bluff.
Explain it for our guest. He never...
Oh, that's right. Tearsley, you don't even listen to the show. Okay, well, it's pretty self-explanatory.
I got as far as episode 2 of the podcast. I thought I should probably listen to at least one before coming on.
So then, yes, you do know what the game is. And it,
no, because I don't think it was in the first one.
Well,
okay,
fucking...
explain the game for a new listener.
It's pretty self-explanatory. I'm going to name three things. One is going to be a bug, one is going to be a bird, and one I'm going to make up completely. It is your job to tell me which one's a bug, a bird, and a bluff. Can you do that?
Okay. Probably.
I'm going to start with Fleeks.
Again? Yeah, yes. Give it to me.
So that you can show him how it's done, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I'm tutorial Fleeks right now. Listen, how you do it perfectly.
Bug, Bird, or Bluff. Koro Tofega. Eugene Delacroix. Ramphastos.
What the fuck? Please repeat it again.
He came into this with so much confidence, and now it's shattered.
Ramphastos, what is it?
Koro Tofega. Or Koro Tofega, Eugene Delacroix, Ramphastos.
Wait a second. The first thought I had would be like, Ramphastos is a bluff, but I think it's actually either a bird or a bug.
Well, that's how the game works. It can either be a lie. A bird.
But I think it's no lie. It would be too obvious. It would be too obviously if that were a bluff. So I go with bird.
Ramphastos is a bird.
Yeah.
Woo!
It's a type of toucan.
Yay! Yeah, of course, a toucan. Toucans are crazy.
So that leaves Koro Tofega and Eugene Delacroix.
Where I'm just think about what you would come up with, and I think you would come up with the... What was the second one?
Eugene Delacroix.
The Eugene Delacroix is a fake, and the first one was a buck.
Wow, he actually got 100%.
Woo!
Koro Tofega is a type of grasshopper. Eugene Delacroix is a singer, and then the Ramphastos is a toucan.
Okay, yeah, the second one sounds like something made up by Core, but it's actually a singer.
Okay, Tearsil, now that you've heard it's done, are you ready?
Is this where I show my complete lack of general knowledge and how ignorant I am?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Hit me.
Okay. Arakari, Thaddeus, Scuderia Bush, Arakari, Thaddeus, Scuderia Bush. Fleeks, no help.
That was three things. I thought it was Arakari. Okay, right. Okay, so it's Arakari. What was it? A Thaddeus?
Yep.
And a Bush.
Scuderia Bush.
Scuderia Bush.
Bird, or Bluff.
I think the first one was Arathari something?
Arakari.
Arakari. Arakari sounds bird-like. It's kind of happy and chirpy. I think it's a little Arakari sounds quite cute. So I'm going to go with bird for Arakari.
Arakari is a bird. Good job.
Hey. Okay, so that leaves Thaddeus. And what was the other one?
And Scuderia Bush.
Okay, I think Thaddeus is a bug, and Scuderi Bush. And I think Scuderia, that sounds really familiar. I want to say it's a Scuderia is like a Formula One thing. Wasn't there like a team or a car brand? So, yeah, Scuderi, bluff, other thing, bug.
No, sorry. Thaddeus is a bluff. Scuderia Bush is also a type of grasshopper.
Oh. I too. In today's episode, we know Core has an obsession with grasshoppers.
I pick themes. All right, Storm, are you ready?
He's scared.
I'm about as ready as I'll ever be, I believe.
Okay, here we go. Rotopenga, horse lubber, Toko. Rotopenga, horse lubber, Toko.
Horse lubber?
Yep.
Is that even legal?
Repeat. Okay. You said the first one was Rogo Panda and the last one was Toko?
Rotopenga. Horse lubber. Toko.
Horse lubber's a veterinary.
I'm going to say the last one's a bird.
Toko is a toucan. Yes.
Oh, okay. This time it was easy.
All right, Rotopenga, all right. Horse lubber.
I'm going to say horse lugger is a bug.
Correct. Horse lubber, L-U-B-B-R, is another type of grasshopper. And Rotopenga is a bluff. I don't even know where it came from. I just made the word up.
Wow. Rotopenga.
For the record, that is the first time I have ever gotten them all right.
You got 100%. Good job.
Thank you.
Yay!
All right, where to now?
Questions from our listeners. Question comes from Lucy, the Nordid broker. Question is this. Have you ever met an African / European swallow? If so, what is their airspeed velocity and how many coconuts could they carry? Wow.
Laden or unladen?
That really is the question. I'm not making this up.
Okay, Google. What is the airspeed velocity of the unladen swallow?
11 meters per second. According to Saratoga.com, in the end, it's concluded that the airspeed velocity...
Okay, thank you very much. 11 meters per second, final answer. We also need to know if it's carrying a coconut.
Yes.
No one said.
Laden or unladen? Have you fucking plebs never watched Monty Python?
I have. We had it as a movie night like 3 or 4 weeks ago in Bird Crew.
Then you should get the reference.
I do.
Well, that's fucked me then, isn't it? I thought you weren't getting it, so I'll just go back to sitting in the corner quietly. Sorry.
Yeah, Lucy, I'm not going to lie. I've seen a picture of an African swallow, but I don't know much about them. I'm sorry.
Yeah, unfortunately, Google doesn't have the answer of if it's carrying a coconut or not.
Okay. Next question we have is coming from our wonderful, lovely bird, Feedy. And the question is this. Do you personally prefer to celebrate with close friends or go to a big party like at the London Eye?
I usually prefer my friends to be clothed.
Yeah. I really do not like public parties too much.
Especially
I really like... Okay, at least... I really prefer
parties with friends.
Mm. You know how... I can explain how we Germans celebrate... New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was like the question. Yeah, New Year's Eve.
Yes.
Maybe.
Basically, how do you do it? Do you celebrate with close friends, or do you go to some big event or party?
So, what I want to say is, there are a few German traditions. The first one is what I like to do because it's just good cool tradition we have in Germany, is watching a sketch called Dinner for One. And it's like it's a sketch that it's held in English, but it's a German sketch, but it's like really like British, and the butler plays like the already dead friends of the mansion owner. And it's like, I need to do that with Tiersel. I need to do this with Tiersel here. And I introduce you to that sketch. It's like, it's broadcasted every Sylvester, how we call New Year's Eve in Germany. And yeah, you have just look up Dinner for One on YouTube and you know what I'm talking about. We are watching it every
We will do that.
And the second tradition, we are probably introducing our British and American friends that attend to the party here we will introduce to them, I don't know, I have to Google how it's called in English, if there's even an English word for that. Lead pouring. Like the metal lead. It's not lead anymore, but we are like heating up lead or something very similar, not that poisonous. And that's a tradition of some New Year's Eve custom of telling fortunes by shapes made by molten lead dropped into cold water.
That actually sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and that we do that too. Yeah, that's a very German tradition, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I've never heard that being done before.
What about you, Trissel?
I much prefer groups of small friends, but this year we're kind of doing both. We've got a group of friends, and we are possibly going to the London Eye to watch the fireworks and everything and all that. As obviously myself and Fleeks are here. We've got a few birds from all over the world joining us here in London. We've got a... Can we name names? Yeah, fuck, I'm naming names, so why not? So we have the... we have Ozork, all the way from America. We have Stoop from Northern Ireland, I don't know, I think he's in London now, something like that. Murriat's coming to visit. The ever-elusive Voight, who I'm still not convinced is actually a real person. We have fake Tiersel, a.k.a. Tierce, who's still salty about not being able to have the name, and his girlfriend coming over from Poland. And we're all meeting up here in London, which is
They're coming from German.
Germany, Poland, it's all kind of the same. At least it was in 1940.
You are having the first legitimate bird con.
We pretty much are. There's nine of us.
Pippin might come.
Yeah, Pippin's joining us as well. Pippin's
and
lovely.
Maybe Rector. Rector, maybe one Rector. Of our generous donators of the Alpha Party. Yeah.
But yeah, we're one of the generous donators. Yeah, we're having this party, and I was like, hey, Fleeks, why don't you come to it? And he was like, you know what? Yeah. And now he's in my place, which is kind of cool.
I still don't believe it. I'm still not mentally
determined. Yeah, it's really weird. I mean, the internet is amazing that you can just meet up with people like that. I was just like, hey, do you want to come over from Germany? Why not?
And now I'm playing like checkbox with Brits and Americans.
For me, I personally prefer a small group of friends because it allows for a more fun and intimate one-on-one setting. You can get silly. Whereas in large crowds, I found if the audience happens to head south, things can get crazy, especially in large cities. But I must say, if this New Year's Eve BirdCon thing really gets off the ground, I really think I'd love to go to that, because that sounds like a blast.
But we've already decided Bird Crew New Year's Eve Con 2017 is going to be in America.
Where precisely in America?
I don't know, it's kind of a big place. We need to narrow it down. Who's going to host us is the most important question.
My nomination is somewhere in California. Generally,
is that close to you?
Place. No.
Well, I think about Phoenix in the desert. Why not?
Oh my God.
I've got a lot of friends. I've got a lot of friends and connections in Phoenix. I can actually make something happen. So, but we can
I
talk
also
about
have a have a very good friend, a dragon in Phoenix.
I mean, alternatively, nice. We could do it in London again and drag you guys over.
That would be a cheaper, even cheaper idea.
Yeah, I'm down for that.
Cheaper for who?
Well,
for cheaper for them.
To be fair, transatlantic flights are actually pretty cheap now. I was looking at prices because people wanted me to go to MFF, which looks like a lot of fun. And I can get a return flight for about just under £300.
Flying
to Chicago. Yeah, flying to Chicago, you can, from the UK especially, you can get there pretty cheap.
For €100, I'm not kidding. Next year, they will get pretty much bigger. They will get cheaper.
Dang it.
I will try my best to come to America next year.
Oh, you'll be coming.
Oh my.
Don't worry. Fleeks, I don't care if I gotta send in a team I know to kidnap you and bring you over here, but we're going to Americanize the fuck out of you next year.
At some point within the coming years, I'm actually hoping to spend, 6 months over in Great Britain. So maybe you can Europeanize me.
You're not spending 6 months on my sofa, though.
No. You were probably getting an apartment. Never go there.
An apartment? Oh, wow.
You mean that?
Oh, you were
something
like
I can rent for 6 months.
What, like a study abroad type deal?
Work abroad kind of thing, yeah. So for about $500 after I complete my paramedic, I can go over there, take a test, and I can actually work in London as a paramedic too.
Oh, shit, I'm getting core in my hometown.
And in your workplace.
Oh, well, that'd be so weird. I was going to say,
I don't know. That will be a lot of fun to see how the Brits run their health service, because you'll be actually, working in it compared to what you deal with over here. So that would be interesting. I look forward to it.
Our first question to the patient isn't Chicago cash.
We don't do that here. We don't do that here. We just,
that's
we
the
just
last question.
Send you the bill. We just send you the bill. That's all we do. Because let's be honest here. If you're having a heart attack, you don't really care who shows up. You just want it handled.
Well, you don't want the lifeguard showing up, because they wouldn't really do much.
Shark, everybody out of the water.
Okay. Next question comes from the lovely Regday. I love
Hello,
you.
Regday.
You are one of the most beautiful, awesome birds we have as fans. Please keep on being awesome. Storms and the question is this. Yes, I do. The question is this. What games are you looking forward to playing in the new year?
Are we talking video games? Rangers? Or?
Checkbox.
I don't know. What is Jackbox? You keep going on about it. I still don't know what
it is. Jackbox Party Pack.
Jackbox Party Pack 1 and 2. And the best game in that, in my opinion, is Drawful, where you're drawing something.
Yes.
You get one of us gets a term, and we the one has to draw it, and the other ones has to do you say what it is.
So
type it, and
it
you
is
play
kind
it
of Pictionary, yeah. Then there's
Quiplash,
but that's actually sold separately. That one's a lot of fun. It's like Cards Against Humanity, except every card you have to make up for yourself.
Yeah. And the other vote, what's the best?
What was the best?
I have no idea. I know for me, I'm not a big gamer. So it's not for me as to what game's coming out or whatnot that I'm looking forward to. It's just because I'm busy and always multitasking and doing things, I look forward to just playing games in general with friends, because it's always a fun social activity. And a good game is one that, even if it's just, a card game, you can sit around the table with some beers and just laugh and have a good time. And I don't really care if it's Cards Against Humanity or something else, or Bang. Bang's a fun game, I found. It's a blast.
I, too, like banging.
Oh, yes. You like bang in both senses of the word.
As far as games I'm looking forward to next year, there is one that's coming out that Ukulele.
Okay, well, I thought you said See a Night in Happiness, the game. I would love to play that. But explain Ukulele to us.
Ukulele is, well, do you remember Banjo and Kazooie?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we already talked about that, right.
It is the spiritual successor to Banjo and Kazooie. It's from the same development team, just under a new name. And they're bringing back the 3D platformer. Which is...
Oh yeah, I love Banjo-Kazooie. I never played Banjo-Tooie for... I'm so sad about that. But the cartridges are fucking expensive. I just can't afford them.
Emulators, dude.
Yeah.
My laptop is shit.
Well, actually, Fleeks, if you look right in front of you, you'll see there's an N64 hooked up to my TV. And in that cupboard, you'll find Banjo-Kazooie and Banjo-Tooie.
Oh, damn, son.
Oh, my fucking God. I know what I do when you're working now.
Yeah, I was a huge Nintendo fanboy as a kid, and I've still got a massive collection of N64 games. And Rareware were like my favorite producers ever. They made some of the fantastic games. I was so sad when Microsoft bought them. They started making shit games.
Let us speedrun some Zelda games. Oh, God.
I think I've got all the Zelda games there.
Oh, my.
It's nice to see that Britain allowed you to import good games, unlike Australia, which pretty much castrates every game they get before it comes into their country.
Yeah.
I'm surprised I'm never able to play Grand Theft Auto with, like, a Polygon Bird in them.
Oh, yeah. I'm really surprised that Grand Theft Auto is legal in Germany, for real, because we have similar rules to Australia, but I think Australia is a bit worse.
And Australia is horrible when it comes down to it.
Yeah, when it comes down to regulating. And it's not like banning video games of certain calibers help their society, because... Let's be honest, when they get their drink on, they get just as wild as any European country I've seen. So,
Tiersel, what's your overall opinion of Australia?
Well, I'd never go there because they have spiders the size of small dogs, and I don't like spiders, so I would never, ever go there. And everything wants to kill you, whether it be the people, the wildlife, the birds, the trees. Yeah,
yeah, the magpies.
The drop bears.
Magpies.
I'd be pecked to death by like a giant spider magpie hybrid thing, and I'd cry.
Oh God, they're breeding!
Yes, it. Everything does try. As someone that has visited Australia, I can assure you, Tiersel is white. Everything does try to kill you.
And the drop bears.
Oh, I'm not gonna. That is such a pile of bullshit. Just okay.
Hilariously enough, I also plan to spend about 6 months in Sydney, Australia, doing exactly the same thing. Also another $500 application, and I can work there.
Core is going to be eaten by a spider.
Yeah.
I would love to find out how the hell you do. That sounds fascinating. You'll have to share us the details at some point.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen that done before over here. There's a big one. They're trying to get you to go to Mexico and be a paramedic, but it's I think it's like a $3,000 fee, and I'm like, oh, fuck
God
that.
Damn,
I'm not paying $3,000.
That's $3,000 to get murdered.
Actually, I would love to visit Australia, and the biologists in me will like explore all the poisonous animals there, and especially the huntsman spider, that is like the huge spider there, I think, but it's totally harmless. It's totally harmless.
Fleeks is definitely going to be eaten by a spider.
It's not totally harmless. They will bite you.
They can't even
provoked.
Bite you. They can't even bite you.
Yeah, they can.
I heard.
If you want to see something scary,
they rarely do.
Google the bird eating spider.
Yeah,
it is it's in Australia. It's actually not a spider. It looks like a spider, but it's so big. It's in its own classification.
Nope.
And they do eat birds.
Nope.
It's true. Regardless, when I do go to Australia, I do plan on actually amassing an army of huntsman spiders to protect me at night from all the other animals that will be trying to kill me.
Yeah, the Australians actually like the huntsman spiders because they keep the other stuff away. And they are pretty harmless, an Australian told me.
So the thing about them is though, like, they don't like being out in the hot sun, so they'll hide in shady places. like your sun visor in your car or underneath the door handle of your car. So I heard like a frequent game that is played in Australia, in the cities of Australia, is spider checks, where you'll have a passenger in your car, you'll grab their sun visor and you'll flip it down, be spider check, and if a huntsman spider drops down or not.
That sounds horrifying.
Now, well, admittedly, in the U.S., in the southwestern U.S., they do the same thing with scorpions.
I didn't know scorpions could get up into your sun visor, though.
Yeah, scorpion. I got friends of the family in Texas, and like when they go to clean their house and they lift up picture frames from the wall to dust, scorpions will fall from behind there.
Oh God!
And go and sting you. So yeah, you have to watch. And let me tell you, a scorpion sting is horrible and pain. So yeah, fuck that shit.
The good rule of thumb with scorpions is the bigger they are, the less toxic their venom is.
Yeah, that's true.
Tell that to you.
God, I love living in Britain where none of this nasty shit lives.
The most poison one, as we know, is a king scorpion, and they are mostly small, and they're hiding underneath stones. And they can actually kill a sensitive person.
It's true.
Now, we have one final question I'd like to ask to you guys. It comes from a listener named Gadget Luminok. How would you like to celebrate the first seconds of New Year's? With bottle rockets or with wine bottles? I'll answer first.
Okay.
Because I'm sorry, I gotta answer this. Okay, I'm an American. So, the first few seconds of New Year's, I'm going to be celebrating with guns. We're going to be shooting at things in the sky, and my neighbors will probably be shooting at cars. They're moving, and then eventually at each other, and that's just the American way to ring in the new year.
Okay.
After that it'll be with alcohol, lots of alcohol.
Suddenly you're from Georgia.
I would like spend New Year's Eve inside in your area. I hate guns, really. Even the ones you only shoot light stuff. Oh God!
You hear gunshots. That's just how it goes.
Actually, I do not celebrate right with rockets, because for me it's like I shoot money in the sky that I can actually spend on booze, because I'm like really I prefer booze instead of rockets. I do not hate rockets, not at all, and it's fun to start a few, but.
So in Germany, the government shoots money into the sky so you can drink booze. What about you, Cor?
Well, at least according to the past 3 years, I've gotten really shit-faced before New Year's and then realized I have to go to the bathroom. So the last 3 New Year's I've actually spent on the toilet. Like, suddenly I'll hear fireworks and people will be screaming and celebrating. I'm like, oh, fuck, not again. So that's probably going to happen again this year.
Not again.
All right. Well, Tercel, what about you? How do you celebrate New Year's in the UK?
I know what bottle rockets are. They're actually banned in the UK. You can't get them anywhere, which is kind of a shame, because I think little tiny explosives and giving them to kids is a great idea. What could possibly go wrong? But yeah, copious amounts of alcohol. Lots and lots and lots of alcohol. And then falling over, shit on my face, trying to crawl back to my house.
Actually, Tiersel, I saw a fireworks store.
Oh yeah, you can buy actual fireworks. I think bottle rockets, not only the tiny little things, are like fireworks for kids,
like Romeo lights and stuff.
Yeah, they got a little fuse, and you can shoot them, and they go straight up with like a little stick.
Yeah, the little tiny fireworks, and
you can hold on to them,
like,
and they'll just shoot out a flare, basically.
Yeah, or like firecrackers. They're banned here as well, which is a shame, because they're amazing to play with. Or cherry bombs. Basically anything fun. There's no fun allowed in Britain. We're good, wholesome Christian people who drink tea and look at the picture of the Queen instead.
And okay,
chaps, another new year. What? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, kids, time for bed.
Yes.
Oh my.
Until a soccer match comes up, and then, you know, whole parts of the country are rioting.
Football. Oh, fuck soccer.
one thing I don't understand about sport is, like, with Canadian hockey, okay, if you watch hockey in Olympics, it's people in an ice rink trying to whack a puck and, you know, do their thing. In Canadian hockey, you have that about half the time. The other half the time, it's basically a boxing match that happens to be in an ice rink. And it's hard to tell what people care about more, whether it's winning the game with the hockey puck or just beating the shit out of one another for no real reason.
But I thought Canada was like a nice, polite place where nothing ever happens.
Yeah, the politest country in the world.
So they just take when it comes to hockey.
So that's the secret to world peace. Take out your violence on a hockey rink. We need to get the rest of the world into ice hockey. There'll be no more wars, no more famine. It'll all be perfect. Apart from bloodbaths on the ice specs.
You just found the solution for world peace.
Yeah.
You should get the Nobel Prize.
And on that bombshell, should we end the show?
So then, I guess that was episode 10.5 then.
Oh my god, Leaks, it's 11.
No, it's 10.5. I'm posting it as 10.5.
We just decided that. okay? And
join us next week for episode 12.2.
Yes.
Episode 10.5.
Don't forget to kiss a bird. Only this week, we ask that you donate 3.14.
We won 3 points. The first bird who donates 3.14 dollars. We will do something special for them.
I will write you a piece of political propaganda in your favor or against you. Your choice.
Something like that. I don't know. We can come up with something. It's very spontaneous.
There you go.
We shouldn't forget to... we all, of course, we wish you birds and non-birds and bird lovers Happy New Year 2017.
Yes, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, birds.
I don't really have anything to add to that.
And non-birds. I guess we
always be beeping. Always be beeping in 2017.
Always be beeping.
So, a fun story from the night we were, like, going from club to club. We were leaving, like, the ship, and then there suddenly was a pretty contact-friendly, I would say aggressive, bum, a homeless. I think he wasn't homeless, he was just a beggar that does it for a living, I don't know. He came to me, and he literally touched me and stuff, and I was like, I'll go away, but he did not go away. And then I was, like, getting my perch. My purse. I did not hurt anybody. I got my purse, opened it, and Tears was like, oh no, don't give him, then they winning, and the other one were like,
yeah,
totally shocked that
money.
I did it. Yeah, you can't give, you shouldn't do that, because they are like, especially that one wasn't real asshole, I have to say that.
Yeah, and then he was like, me and our friends, and we told him to
like,
go away.
Taking a coin out from it, and gave it in his hand, and it was a euro, not a pound. You're paying with pounds here for all the Americans who do not know what you're paying with in Britain.
Right, we know.
And and he was looking at it, and then we was like, some shouting something, calling me an asshole, and throwing the euro after me. And I took it up, and I laughed so much. I did not lose the euro. I still have it.
So duly noted. So if I go to Britain, I need to bring with me American dollars and coins from America to give to the hobos.
Yeah, but I think especially the euro. Especially the euro triggered him. So, euros!
Yeah, the euro looks exactly like a £2 coin, so he must have thought he was getting £2. He'd be like, wow, that's amazing! I can, like, buy a load of crack for this. And
yeah, he was also saying something about 5, 5, 5, I want 5. And I was fuck you guys.
You're begging.
I
don't have to decide
how much money they're worth.
You get to demand. Wow. In Britain, what we've learned this episode is that in Britain, the homeless will demand a minimum of £5 from you and will take nothing less without bitching.
Oh, no. So one time I was wanting to
start accepting credit cards.
Actually, on that note. I was wandering through Salt Lake City and had a transient approach. And we were like, hey, man, you got some cash? And I said, no, I'm sorry. I don't carry cash on me. I only have cards. And he was like, oh, well, that's no problem. And he pulls out a Square reader and sticks it in his phone.
Damn.
It was so awkward. I had to give him a couple bucks.
To be fair, props to him. If he was that well prepared...
Props, really. So some people, some homeless people, beggars.
No beggar.
They're pretty creative. They're pretty creative, and they earned that for some reason. And I'm not generally not giving them something if I see like they're either creative with what they do, they talk good and stuff, or they entertain me in some way. I give them something.
Yeah, but just coming at you, like, give me money. Fuck.
The last time I gave a homeless guy money was we were in. Las Vegas, Nevada, and they're literally got all these people begging everywhere, and finally there's this one dude just sitting there. He looked like this happy hippie, and he has this sign in front of him that said, not gonna lie, need money for beer. And I was like, finally, the first fucking honest street beggar I've met today, and I handed him a 5. And he nodded and said, bless you, my brother.
Also, I more or less do for charity, I have to add that still. In Germany, we have funds. That's a deposit on bottles, like 25 cents for plastic bottles. And I always put them next to the bin, trash bin, not into the bin. So the homeless people can like pick it up. Or the ones who want to have it. If I'm too lazy to take them home, you know
God,
what I mean?
You're so because courteous. They don't throw away. Hell?
You shouldn't never throw away money. That's a waste.
Okay. Yep.